They didn't wear uniforms. They didn't march. They didn't hold titles carved in stone. But they were there, in the hush before the battle, in the smoke behind the hills, in the murmur of prayers spoken beneath breath, under moonlight, beside sacred roots. They were the women behind the woman, the whisperers, the watchers, the weavers of code and care. This is their story. Welcome to the History of the Caribbean audiobook. If you haven't already, we invite you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss a story. Today, we're honored to bring you The Whisper Network of Women Who Fought Beside Her. Get ready to immerse yourself in a powerful narrative that goes beyond music into legacy, resistance, and roots. Because here, our mission is simple: to keep our culture alive, one story at a time. While Queen Nanny led with fury and flame, she was never alone. Behind her stood a network of women, grandmothers, mothers, sisters, daughters, who fought without needing swords, and whose weapons were often unseen, but undeniably powerful. This insight honors the invisible army, the network of women who ensured that Queen Nanny's vision did not end with victory, but carried on through generations. These women weren't just caretakers or healers. They were architects of survival. They moved like breath through Maroon communities, delivering messages, decoding British movements, organizing food stores, tending wounds, smuggling charms, channeling spirits, teaching children how not to forget. They whispered, but their whispers built nations. Let's begin with a name, Amari. She was said to be Nanny's closest sister, not always by blood, but in bond. She didn't command troops. She commanded knowledge. Amari was the one who sat closest to the fire during ritual, the one who remembered which herbs stopped bleeding and which ones made soldiers brave, the one who held newborns to her chest and named them in secret before they were seen by the world. Amari didn't yell. She didn't need to. When she moved through the camp, warriors stepped aside, because she carried something older than weapons. She carried the instruction manual for spirit. There was Tenda, too. Tenda had no known age. Some said she was born during the crossing from Africa, that she arrived as an infant in a womb too strong to break. Others said she was ageless because she had walked with the spirits long before Nanny ever picked up a drum. Tenda was a weaver, but not just of baskets. She wove messages into cloth. Red thread meant safe passage. Three knots in a sash meant British movement nearby. Beaded hems carried codes for ambush routes. She dressed the warriors before battle, and if you knew how to read it, her weaving told you everything you needed to survive. And then there was Olia. Olia never fought on the battlefield, but she fought in the minds of the enemy. She was the one who would leave footprints where no one had walked, who smeared ash across trees to confuse trackers, who left fetishes, small carved dolls, feather-tied charms, animal bones wrapped in red cloth, at the edge of British camps to stir fear. Olia knew psychology, and she weaponized it like a queen. British soldiers wrote about her in their journals, the Red Spectre, the Ghost Woman, the Witch in the Woods. They never saw her clearly, but they always felt her near. These women, and many unnamed others, formed what we now call a whisper network, a decentralized, silent, sacred line of communication and protection that made Nanny's leadership possible. They didn't need torches. They lit fires in people. They taught children to speak without speaking. They taught young girls how to gather water in ways that signaled troop movement. They taught boys how to run like ghosts, delivering leaves, beads, and coded drum patterns across miles of dense terrain. They moved messages faster than feet. They trained emotion to become camouflage. And in every breath, they whispered, "This land is ours." The British never knew how to stop them, because they couldn't see them, because their understanding of war was loud, and these women fought in silence. Their battleground was the kitchen, the river path, the dream space, the place between words. They used lullabies to signal danger, used grinding rhythms to tell when a spy was nearby, used absence as strategy. When certain women stopped speaking for days, it was often because something sacred was about to happen. This is something modern war doesn't understand. That silence is not surrender. That whispering is not weakness. That the ones who do not speak are often the ones shaping the future. And that women, black women, maroon women, spiritual women, have always known how to build resistance inside the mundane. Washing, stirring, burying, beating, walking, fighting, and the truth. Queen Nanny didn't lead beside these women. She led with them. She was part of the circle, not above it. She knew that her strength didn't come from her drum alone. It came from the sisters who made the oil that healed her feet, from the women who stood watch while she prayed, from the girls who whispered sacred names into her ear just before battle. They were her generals, her diviners, her mirrors, her memory. Let me tell you something else. When the wars ended and the treaties were signed, it was these women who carried Nanny's flame. The men were tired. Some made peace. Some forgot. But the women, they remembered. They kept the rituals going. They kept the fire lit at dawn. They kept the Abeng horn sacred. They taught the next generation how to speak in rhythm, how to listen to silence, how to walk through the forest without being seen. They didn't ask for recognition, because they were the recognition, living, breathing monuments. Still here. There's a saying in Moore Town, the women remember. And if you sit long enough beside the old grandmothers, you'll hear them hum songs that don't exist in any archive. You'll watch their hands braid stories into hair. You'll feel a warmth in their gaze that says, you don't need to be loud to be dangerous. You just need to know who you are. So what do we take from this? What is the fire in this whisper? It's this. Every revolution needs its unseen hands. Every movement is carried by those who whisper the mission in the dark. The ones who don't get their names on currency, but whose work makes sure that history has a pulse, that memory stays sharp, that the future arrives knowing it was carried. If you are one of those people, quiet, consistent, spirit-led, know this. You are not invisible. You are foundational. And without you, no queen can rise.